Honestly, at this point, I was scared shitless. Everything now depended on Chief and me. One, overweight, rather imperfect shrink turned fed, and one failed hockey enforcer with a hair-trigger temper, and neither of us had a real idea of what we were supposed to do. I thought maybe I really should have asked Brooks a whole load more questions when I had the chance. Then, hindsight is 20/20, of course. It was at least pretty clear where we were. In Carcosa, or Ital, or wherever, before the fall. Imminently before the fall, or at least some projection of it. The arrival of the King in Yellow seems to follow a well-established script, just as transcribed in that fateful play. It was a warning for all history that this cycle is an ongoing one. It's just a question of where and when. Steno had obviously used his arcane knowledge to mess with the program and fast-track himself to a kind of warped godhood. I was racking my brains, trying to remember the sequences that Chance, Frost, and Martikian had gone through. At least one of them should have been here. One of them would have known, but not I. Well, we were just going to have to do what we did best. Roll with the flow and be unpredictable. That's how we got shit done. The King in Yellow could only arrive as a result of a chain of events. Break one link, and the whole chain breaks, was my thinking. One weakness in their plan. Chief and I tried to fade into the crowd. We were ushered into a grand hall that reminded me of a youthful visit to Windsor Castle in England some years earlier. An event here was underway, where an empty throne was the center of attention. Behind it stood a tall, mature woman whose weird beauty was on the fading side of alluring. She had a regal presence, and I guess she was the incumbent queen, Carcosa's starting quarterback. To her right hand sat a tall man who looked imperious and as regal as his mother, the Prince Aldenese. Sat behind him and giving me the impression of vultures on his shoulder stood two men who looked like they had stepped out of a lost chapter of Alice in Wonderland. One looked like Tweedledee and the other one like the walrus. On her left, two women who looked like they had stepped off a modeling shoot on Fifth Avenue. A statuesque blonde and a statuesque redhead, both dripping in silk and lace, their ornate dresses dressed with gemstones. Gemstones up the kazoo. Red had a Mona Lisa-like smile on her face, like a cat who reserved all the cream for later, while Blondie shrank back into her chair and looked scared and nervous. I had to check that we hadn't suddenly been transported to Trump Tower. These had to be the princesses, Camilla and Casilda. The hall in which we were in was beyond even the Don's great dreams. Massive, with two rows of black stone pillars running from two corners towards the throne, which sat on a raised dais. Behind the throne, or rather below it, and dressed in ceremonial armor, was someone I did recognize. Guard Captain Alaria. Yes, an Alaria, but not our version, an alternate one, caught in the aspic of this event. Whatever. I hoped, as she had saved our asses in one continuum, she might repeat the favor in this one. Who knows? But as we were working on thin margins, well, off the page, actually, all a man could do was hope. I scanned the crowd, and then my pulse went through the roof. DuPont and Steno were there in unrented tuxes. Well, they just fitted them too well to be rented. Like two evil penguins. It had only been months since I last saw him, but Dupont looked a little bit the worse for wear. Part of his fine Southern gentleman goatee was gone, with a pink skin in its place. I had a realization then, an epiphany. I should have known. The sorcerer that killed Brooks. It had to be Dupont. I felt a cold rage burn inside. That DuPont would get my special lethal intent had been decided a long time ago. But right now, Steno was the priority. He looked old and fragile, leaning on his stick, but I had a feeling it was all a mask, a charade, an act. I remember seeing Tom Waits back in the day, stagger on stage dressed like a tramp, and then suddenly transform phoenix-like as he took his place at the keys. The piano had been drinking, indeed. Suddenly Steno broke from the crowd and brazenly walked up the dais towards the throne. The five around the throne, the queen behind it, the two princesses and the prince, all pretenders to the throne, stood up, faces flushed with anger. Unrest rippled through the crowd. Ilaria stepped forward to intercede, but she stopped when a tall, thin, bearded man materialized out of thin air, blocking Steno's path to the throne. I recognized this guy from the team's descriptions. He was the court wizard and high priest, Neo Talba, the one that Brooks had done a deal with, and impressed with the amulet that now sat in my right pocket. Guards appeared out of the crowd and surrounded Steno. Ilaria took him by the arm and led him out, followed by Neo Talba and the queen. As the crowd parted, Chief and I followed. Suddenly I became aware of Frost, Devereaux, and Wilmot falling in beside us. The other Ilaria caught a glimpse of us, and I saw her frown at Wilmot. I quickly looked at both and realized that she must have been puzzled by the fact he was carrying a replica of her sword at his side. Of course, she still had her own one. Well, at least we'd gotten her attention. She turned to speak to Neo Talba, pointing at us, and I knew then that things were about to get spicy.